fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day together with friends and family. This week, I want to talk about a theme I began last week, talking about living with a renewed mind. You know, the apostles exhort us to have a transformed mind, a renewed mind. And one of the things I mentioned last week from the first letter of St. Peter, he said, gird up your minds. He said, you know, grab hold of the life, your direction, your thought life, your imagination. Focus your mind and your heart on the will of God and on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or what he means by this, not only the revelation that comes to us from the gospel, the basic proclamation of who Jesus is, but set your mind and heart on what the Lord has before you, what the Lord has given to you, what the Lord himself has accomplished, and what he intends to give to you, not only in this life, but in the life to come. One of the things you see in the letters of the apostles that they give us in the New Testament is they always begin with what God has done for us, not so much about what we're supposed to do for God. I think we reverse that a lot in our own lives. We think about mostly about what we're supposed to do for God, and in relationship to that, we often think about how much we fail to do what God wants us to do, and we sort of live in that orbit of sort of disappointment, not feeling like we're being everything God wants us to be. We can fall into discouragement, and that's where our mind stays fixed, and there's a direct correlation. The saints show us this, I think, and the apostles make it so clear in their teaching that when our minds are focused on ourselves or our failures and living under kind of a daily burden of what we're supposed to do for God each day and what we fail to do, without connecting our minds and hearts and our imagination to the truth about what Christ has done for us and what God the Father has accomplished for us, if we don't make the transition that the apostles make and fix their mind first on what God's done for us, the burden that we experience in seeing ourselves as failing, being discouraged, we're never going to be able to get out of it or live the Christian life with the vitality and real sense of joy, the kind of great joy that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, is calling us all to live in, living in a joy that radiates not so much what, again, what I do for God, but the joy radiates from a heart that's confident in knowing what God has done for me. That's where it all starts. That's what matters the most. Because what Christ has done for us, what the Father has accomplished in his Son, the apostles want us to lay hold of that with all our hearts. And so last week, I was reading through the first chapter of St. Peter's first letter to us. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. Last week's programs are there. They're archived on the computer. You can listen to them right there or download them, put them on your iPod, listen to them when it's convenient for you. Toward the end of the first chapter is where I left off last week. And verse 18, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 18. He said that you know that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your fathers. So Peter's speaking to a community that he evangelized. He's beginning to grow. He's their shepherd. And they're situated in Asia Minor. They're a small band of people, marginalized, no big influence in society. They're just beginning to grow. Peter's acknowledged God's work in their life. He helps them. First thing he does in speaking to them is say, remember now what God's done for you and who you are. Who you are is based on what God has done for you fundamentally. And he said that each one of you, one of the most beautiful passages in the whole New Testament, in my opinion, is Peter's acknowledgement of what these brothers and sisters who are living through constant trial, it's one of the great themes of Peter's first letter and his second letter as well, strengthening the brethren because he knows that they're suffering trial and persecution. They're being rejected. They're paying a high cost for the faith that they've now received, the faith in Jesus, and entering into the Lord's church and the community that he's built. And so Peter said, even though you've never seen him, you've never laid eyes on him like Peter laid eyes on him. He said, even though you've never seen him, you love him. And you're filled with unutterable and exalted joy. So the foundation of their life, even though their circumstances are not good, they're very difficult circumstances, what's moving them, what animates their life, is love. It's love for God. It's love for Christ. The Holy Spirit has poured that love into their hearts, and they've received it. And their hearts and minds are set now on Jesus and everything he's called them to, but everything he's made them to be. They simply want, you can see so clearly, they just want to be everything that the Lord has called them to be and what he's given them the power to become in their lives. And so Peter's simply reminding him in verse 18, he says, you know that you've been ransomed. You've been bought back from your futile ways, the futile ways that you inherited from your fathers. He said, essentially, he speaks like Paul here, where Paul says, you know, we're without Christ, without the death of Christ, without the shedding of his blood and the forgiveness of sins and the possibility of overcoming sin's power and sin's hold on us, or as St. Paul would say, overcoming the reign of sin in our lives, being under the dominion of that drive that insists on my own ego, my own way, my own pleasure, you know, my life against others rather than my life for others. That battle with sin that Paul says can dominate our lives. Peter says we've been ransomed from that. We've been bought out. Without the shedding of Jesus' blood and without his resurrection from the dead, all of us are subject to the dominion of sin and therefore literally in bondage to futility. That is, no matter what efforts we make, we simply cannot make our lives better ultimately. That is, we can't deal with the fundamental problems that dominate the human race. We can't overcome ultimately the death problem, because the death problem is rooted in the sin problem. The only way it can be overcome is in the person of Jesus Christ. And so all our attempts to distract ourselves, to find our glory here in this world, to accumulate power and influence here in the world as kind of a goal of our lives, you know, the money, sex, power drive, the freedom drive that's so strong in the world, it's all futility. It all ends in dust and ashes. St. Peter says, you've been ransomed. You've been bought out of that futile way of looking at the world. And there's a whole new reality now that's alive in you. It's beautifully put. He said, you know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited by your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. How were you purchased? How were you ransomed? Well, you're ransomed not by money, not by family influence, not by bloodlines, not by any other means other than the blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus was the high price that was paid for you and for me so that we could now live a new way of life. That's why he came. That's why the Father sent him. And he came not just simply to point in the direction we're supposed to go, not just to get our attention, say, hey, you're going the wrong way, go this way, which he did, but there's no way we can make that turn. There's no way we can move in another direction, in God's direction, to have communion and union with God and enter God's family, become children of God without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. And that was the price that was paid so that we could be free from this life of empty futility. Verse 20, he said, he was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the times for your sake. Jesus was destined to become Messiah and Lord. Jesus was destined by the Father to become Savior, to become the head of a new humanity. The new creation would be born in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth. This was God's plan from the beginning. And so Peter says, even though it was planned really from all eternity, what the Son of God would do to save God's people, those God created, he said, he was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the times for your sake. So Peter's saying he's been made manifest to us at the end times. These are the end times. The end time of human history, the Catechism teaches it very clearly, the Scripture is so clear on it, is that window between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is the final stage of human history. The Scripture and the Catechism talk about it again as the last hour. Jesus, his manifestation, his coming into the world to begin the new creation, the final chapter of human history is going to lead, is this period of time between the first coming of Jesus when he comes as a lamb in mercy to bring about the salvation of the world, to lead people out of, to break them from the chains of futility and sin that bind them and lead them into a new way of living, into absolute and total freedom. Freedom in God, sharing in what belongs to Jesus. So Peter said he's been made manifest. So it begins with Jesus becoming one of us in the incarnation. It's going to end this final stage of human history when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. So this whole stage, this final stage of history, is a stage of mercy, because it's a stage of manifestation and revelation of Jesus Christ, who has brought the Father's plan for the salvation of the world to the earth. And now it's the church who lives in time, who now lives in this period of the comings of Jesus, between the two comings of Jesus, that carries this message of mercy to the world. He was made manifest, Peter said. We saw him. He'll say later, and I think it's the second letter of St. Peter, he said, we beheld his glory. That's the Gospel of John, excuse me. But he says very clearly, he'll say, we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. We were eyewitnesses to the majesty of Jesus. We saw his glory. Peter will say, we saw him on the mountain when he was transfigured. We caught a glimpse of the brilliance and the majestic glory and power that's in the person of Jesus. We saw a glimpse of heaven. We saw a window into heaven through the person of Jesus Christ. The Father helped us see and understand who Jesus is. So Peter's recalling that. Then he says in verse 21, through him, you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Just that one sentence is a huge, it's a mouthful, it's a revelation, it's great food for our lives. And this is where Peter wants us to set our minds now. He said, set your mind fully on the grace that's been given to you. What's the grace? Through Jesus, the one who ransomed you and ransomed me, you have been given confidence in God. We're no longer aliens or strangers. We have confidence. We have confidence in God the Father. Jesus has revealed to us the nature of God, the mystery. God is ultimately a great mystery. We'll never fully penetrate, but what we know about God most perfectly has come to us in Jesus. And what Jesus has shown us is that God is our Father, that God is a loving Father. He's not a tyrant. He's not a distant Father. He's a loving Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus poured his love into our hearts. That's the love of the Son for the Father and the love of the Father for the Son. He gives us an affection, a taste of the divine affection, the love and the trust and the surrender of the Son to the security of his relationship with the Father. This is what's being taught here. So that the very Spirit of Jesus that cried out, Abba, Father, is given to you and to me. And everyone who comes to Christ and comes alive in the water, in baptism, repentance, and baptism and new life in the Holy Spirit, living in his church, it's the Spirit of Jesus crying out to through us, Abba, Father. And Jesus wants to establish in our hearts a profound security and a great confidence in God. Confidence in God is one of the fundamental gifts Jesus wants to give you and to give me. And it's the foundation, the rock solid foundation of a secure, purposeful, fulfilled life in God. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.